Shalom, shalom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I am going to get someone on the line. I'm going to play a song, and we're waiting on all of our people to come on the line. So everyone, please be patient with me, and we will be right with you momentarily. This is going to be about the state of our black people. Could you please, everyone, just be patient. The lines are filling up. We want to talk. We have a special guest on the line today, and I'm really excited about it. So here we go. I'm going to play a song to give everyone a chance to come on the line. And I look forward to speaking with all of you. Here we go. Hope you like it.
People looking at me like I just robbed the neighborhood circle K. Just minding my business, trying to make a living, digging in day by day. Some of the things that I'm seeing, you just wouldn't believe. But I always hold my head up in dignity. Can't judge the book by the cover, cause they don't really even know me. Don't know me.
Hi, shalom, shalom. I'm going to get this game going on real quick. My name, again, my name is Yaina Israel, and we have a special guest on the line today. I'm going to let my co-host on the line, and then we're going to introduce our special guest because you all know that we've been watching Chicago very closely, and there's been a lot of things going on in Chicago. And, of course, we had a connection with a very important sportscaster last week who's going to be on the line again today. So, you know, we are broadening our horizon and opening up our information to out to the world, and we want to talk to some people that are on the front line and up close and personal with the issues that are going on with our nation. So let me get my co-host on the line, and then we're going to introduce our special guest. If you're on the line, which we have a lot of people on this line, I want you to switch over and call someone and have them to call in on this line. This is going to be very important today because we're going to make some serious headway. One moment, please, sir. We'll be right with you. Hold on one moment. Brother Donny, are you there? Hello? Hello, are you there? Hello? We'll wait till he gets to the phone. This is a very Okay, this is a very special program for you. I have a very special guest on the line for you today. And, you know, it's time for the Most High to bless us with the things, our endeavors and the things that we've been doing. And I don't want to hold him on the line long. I don't know how much time he has. But, you know, with your prison program and the things that you have set up, this young man here is going to be very influential if we can get, you know, his attention. But he did call in, and we thank him so much for calling. And we want to open up the lines to him right now. We're not going to hold him on any longer. Are you there, sir? Mr. McKinley?
Yeah, can you?
Mr. McKinley?
Can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can. How are you today?
I'm okay. It's all good. I'm glad to be on your show, and I'd like to thank the listeners in New York. I was just in New York last month, and I think New York has a lot of beautiful brothers and sisters in that city that really want to make a change for their people for the better. And I commend the grassroots people. And I must separate our movement from the grassroots people, from the black leadership, who has abused us, used us, and misused us and sent us into the valley of death and destruction. That the end government benefits from us going into the wrong direction. But we can't go in the wrong direction without those name brand Negroes, blue ribbon Negroes, excited Negroes, Negroes that we are excited to lead us in the wrong direction, in the valley of death. Somebody got to take the blame for all this misery black folks is going through other than black folks. Somebody led us in this direction. Someone had an intellectual, there was intellectual capital that was being used. There were people who came in and corrupted our priesthood. There were people who came in and defiled our youth with perversion. All this was done with black leadership.
That is correct.
Yeah, they work for white folks. They work for white folks. But when you accuse their black leadership, they want to tell you what the white man do. Now, I want the audience to listen to me real good. I'm in Chicago. Chicago is the dominion capital of all black leadership. You may not believe it. It is. Barack Obama come from Chicago. He didn't come from New York.
That
he
is
come
correct.
From Chicago. And it's a reason why. It is a reason why. All your prophet Noble Drew Ali come from Chicago. Your Elijah Muhammad, he come from Chicago. The head of the Urban League, he come from Chicago. Operation Push, he come from Chicago. Prince Asiel, he come from Chicago. All of your name brand blue ribbon Negroes that in play now, they come from Chicago. And they are all under the intellectual capital of the University of Chicago. They're hot on out there playing exactly the way they want it. You see how Detroit failed? There was no white folks running Detroit. No, there were black folks running Detroit. I don't want to hear nothing about what the white folks did. I want to know what you did to prevent the people in Chicago from Detroit from falling in the toilet like that. They see, they want to, every time you put pressure on them, they act like we're back in, you know, Chicago is called Northern Mississippi sometimes. I said Northern Mississippi.
Okay.
Because every time you ask an elected official, I want to say this last thing. I want y'all to hear this last thing because it's very important. Every time you ask a black elected official in Chicago Well, we need you to make sure when you go downtown that you bring the bacon home, that you bring the same resources to the black community that the resources going to every other community. You know what that black leadership say? Oh, we don't want to upset white folks. Now, y'all know white folks. See, they want to blame white folks. We not living. It's 2013.
That is correct.
Stop telling me about white folks and start taking your pinnacle responsibility. But go ahead, brother. I just wanted to get that out right quick.
Okay, now, before we get started, I wanted him to introduce himself, but obviously he has a lot to say, and we have a lot to say, and we just want to talk today. This is a brother from Chicago, Illinois. Are you running for political office, sir?
No, ma'am. I ran for Congress. I'm an ex-offender.
Right, I know
I
that. And your program
is you're
connected with VOTE, and that's Voices of the Ex-Offender, right?
Yes, ma'am. I'm an ex-offender trying to prevent a next offender.
Okay.
And that next offender may be on this phone listening to me now.
That is correct.
All right, Brother Adonijah, you see what's happening now? The Most High is opening up the doors. My Brother Adonijah has a program for ex-offenders, and we want, because we are, I don't know whether you know who we are. We sent you an invitation to come to the program, but we are the modern-day Hebrew Israelites, and we are watching our people go into the toilet, and we're watching things that are happening. And Chicago is one of the cities that we've been watching very closely, that they have now deemed it the murder capital of the world, of the United States. And we're trying, it was our goal at one point to come to your city and be able to sit down. We have exhausted the resources of trying to get the attention of the aldermen and the black people that they have, the faces they have out front. Now we are reaching out to people like you who have a face, a voice, experience in the other side, the way that you lived at one point, so that you can change someone from living that way now. So, you know, we wanted to give you an opportunity to please introduce yourself, let them know about what program you work for, and then, you know, we're just all going to talk. Is that okay?
Okay. Let me say what our organization does. Our organization, we fight for jobs. More than anything else, when an ex-offender get out of jail, he need employment. He need to be able to go to work right now. I'm talking about when they go out the door, he need to be going to work that morning. So when I got out the penitentiary, there were all the name brand Negro organizations that work with the administration to make sure we go back to jail. Those organizations wasn't putting none of us to work. So we had to create our own, and whoever listening to me, I want to give you the blueprint of what you're going to have to do where you at. You're going to have to drop your buckets and start drinking your water where you at, because you're not going to get no help. You don't. There is nobody fighting for us, period, at all. None of those Negroes you see on TV, they are with them people. They're not fighting them people. They're on their side. And if you go to them, give them people your ideas, or if you show them solutions to the problem, they're going to steal your ideas. They're going to get profit, non-profit money, and they're going to make sure they still do the same thing they're doing now, nothing for you. So what we did was we started protesting construction sites. Contrary to popular belief, the construction site is ex-offender friendly, because most people that work in construction been to jail. And not only have they been to jail, they're members of different kind of groups. I'm talking about the white ones not either, with the Italian groups. They with the Irish group, the Aryan Brotherhood, the Mexican groups. All of them there, but they all can come together and agree, hey, man, let's work and get us some money. What happened with the black folks, every time we go there, because the unions are racist and discriminatorial to black folks, and they, what they do, they try to tell us we can't work because we're not a union. Well, in Chicago, we have a certain way of letting people know if we don't work, nobody works. So you can't work in our community. Most of the work in urban America, it's just the 120 cities in urban America that majority of black folks is in the central area. So most of the infrastructure that Clinton money that he gave up, Clinton gave up $80 billion to do infrastructure. Most of that infrastructure is in your urban cities, sitting where black folks at. So everywhere black folks at is gold. That's why you see them doing curbs and gutters. That's why you see them doing docks. That's why you see them doing the bridges. That's why you see them doing the sewer way. Now, all that stuff is from the Clinton money. So they have to convince you that you're not in a union and that you can't. Well, they can't convince us we can't get no job. You can't work on my block and we guess we're going to shut them down. So they immediately they call the police. Now, don't forget, the police is in the union also. But this is a labor dispute. This is not a criminal process. We have the right to protest, and we have the right to demand. Now, the alderman or whatever elected official that may be representing you in your community, he's already made the deal because most of the time they cannot work in your community without the alderman, which you may have a different kind of name for your representative, but just use the word sellout. The black sellout that works for you, he's already signed off and told the white folks, y'all can work in the black neighborhood, okay? So when you protest them, the white folks say, well, hey, man, the deal was already made with your people. What you want? They may have a Negro out there who is a friend, family, or was a part of that Negro politician. That's the only Negro you see out there. And the rest of your job, now these are your jobs, your taxpayer money. Listen, when I say these are your jobs, you pay tax like everybody else. Everything you buy, you pay taxes for. So just like you pay tax, what's going on with that Barack Obama stuff when he be talking about he's the president of the all of America? Well, you're a citizen of America, too. That means he's your president, too. So when your alderman or your political elected official is in that, when they're doing work in that area, that's your taxpayer money. They are obligated to allow the indigenous people who live in that neighborhood to participate in the development of their community. So I want everybody to know the first thing they need to do, all the ex-offenders have been to jail. The ones have been in jail for murder, armed robbery, kidnapping, burglary. Take them down there because the white gangsters seem to respect them. I don't see them. They don't slap us around. When we go down there and work, all that, what they do, they find out not to do it. Because we're nonviolent to everybody that's nonviolent to us. We're not nonviolent to anyone that's like, for the life of me, I can't get my people to turn the other cheek. So they're not going to turn the other cheek, and these guys that we protest know this, and so we resolve a labor dispute through peaceful protest, and we get our men jobs. That's what we do in the city of Chicago. We put our people to work. But when we started doing that, we started finding about the Negroes' part that they've been playing in this whole process.
Mm. I hear you. I understand perfectly. First of all, I want to introduce myself. My name is Adonia, and I'm out of Atlanta, Georgia. And I agree with everything that you have said, and I appreciate the fire that you have in your belly. You understand? I had tried to set up this program so that the brothers and sisters that are locked up in the penitentiary can come out, you understand, and learn a trade, you understand, inside of a year, you understand, so that they, you know, that they can, so that we can put them to work on building up all the abandoned buildings that was foreclosed on or walked away from or whatever, you understand? If we was to buy some of those buildings, you understand, under a nonprofit organization, and if you're a religious organization, you should be able to get these buildings for almost nothing, you understand? Mm-hmm. But I was trying to get these brothers and sisters to see, because, see, what happens is that they let these brothers out of the penitentiary with no job, no trade, no ability to do for themselves, you understand? Mm-hmm. So they don't have any alternative to go back to the penitentiary, throw another brick.
Can I add something to what you're saying, brother? I want to add to and support what you're saying. In Atlanta, Georgia, you have $8 or $9 billion project. Atlanta had, the railroad used to go around Atlanta. It didn't run through the town. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Your railroad, okay, now they had a sister. She's on Katam too. She went and she drew up a plan to do all the development that would connect all those, because it's a lot of suburbs around Atlanta, Georgia, that's flourishing. So they're going to take over $2 to $6 billion, and they're going to build up all around Atlanta, Georgia. They're going to build all around Atlanta, Georgia. What my opinion is for you to do, you're not going to get any support from the elected officials, especially from the blue ribbon intellectual Negroes, because they've all.
I'm not going to try to get anything from the
I'm not saying it for a reason. I was saying it because they are already aware of this redevelopment that's being done in Atlanta. My opinion to you is for you to have a meeting with the redevelopment plan on the wall and talk to the people in the community and tell them that we don't have to shut these sites down and put a flyer out to all the young men. Say, I need young men, because this is how we do it. I need young men who don't have an idea, who may have finished high school or have not finished high school, or who have been to jail or have not been to jail, but is willing to work. I need from the age of 17 to 65, and I need you to meet us over here. We're going to be going and trying to get construction jobs. Now, when they get there, I have a room that's packed. When they get there, I say, I'm glad y'all are here. For all those who think you're getting something for nothing, you're going to have to earn it. There is jobs here, but you're going to have to earn the job. You're going to have to fight for the jobs. Those who don't want to fight for the jobs, you can leave now. But those who want to fight for the jobs, usually young people stay. So then I said, well, we're going down there and we're going to protest and shut this construction site down and demand that we put some people to work. And when you'll find out, once you protest that construction site, they're going to immediately call the black elected official. And that black elected official is going to do a disclaimer because he ain't got you in his pocket. He can't check you or direct you or tell you which way to go. That elected official may call you up on the phone. You try to figure out how you had your phone number. Then once you shut that site down, and once the white folks see that that this project is not going ahead without deliberate 50% community participation, they in turn will start hiring some of you guys right there. And I have proven this over and over again. You're not going to get anywhere with just talking to them. You got to go grab them guys off the block, because they ain't making no money down there. The little money they making ain't nothing.
You said that, you understand, and I was wondering if I could get a meeting, would you be a spokesman for that particular meeting?
In Atlanta?
Yes.
Well, I don't have no problem coming down there. I might need some coffee there, because this is a grassroots organization. I ain't got no 501C. You know what I'm talking about? So I don't have no problem. No problem coming down there.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to get a support group. You understand? Nobody wants to do something. We want to reap the benefits. But you know our people is slow to do anything. You understand? You made a good point. You understand? We have to get with some of them brothers that are suffering. You understand? Will be suffering. You understand? When they come out the penitentiary, they ain't got no job, and all the ones that's looking for jobs that hadn't been in the penitentiary, I need to gather those brothers and sisters. You are absolutely right, because those are the ones, you understand, that's going to be the facilitators of these things. You understand? So they're gonna have to do something. You understand?
Because the new slogan for the Uncle Tom. See, the Uncle Tom has hid itself in the word of middle class.
Oh, okay.
That's the new expression for an Uncle Tom. And Uncle Tom said, I'm middle class, man. We don't do protest no more. Brother, we got to do it another way, brother.
Yeah.
That's the Uncle Tom in him.
Yeah.
See, Tomism has remixed itself. Tomism has put a new face on, a suit on.
Yeah, that's correct.
Tomism tells the people that's not the way to act. In the church, see, there's a difference between a preacher that loves God and his people and an Uncle Tom, a Negro preacher that don't know God, neither his scriptures.
They're not the same.
You know what I'm talking about? They're not the same. And so most of our people now has been lulled to sleep by the super mega church Negro preacher.
Ooh-wee. Mm-mm-mm.
who most of the time is bisexual.
That is correct.
Most of the time. And they promote the liberal agenda. More than anything else, people need to understand that there's a liberal agenda. The liberal agenda, it ain't black and it ain't white. The liberal agenda is a philosophy where it strips the people of their principles, beliefs,
that is
and
correct.
Their goals.
You're absolutely right.
What is liberal? Liberalism, you are laid with a dog. That's being liberal.
Well, you are absolutely right.
You don't have no principle.
So,
and so when you're dealing with these Negroes who have recloaked themselves, they have cloaked themselves, the term has cloaked themselves, I would like the audience who is listen to me, there's a book out because I want black folks to know that they've been, Negroes been a part of this Uncle Tom stuff since we've been in this country. There's a book. It's called Black Slave Owners. These are black folks who owned slaves in North Carolina.
Nope.
These are black folks who owned slaves from 1790 to 1860. These are three slave masters in the Southern Carolina. The name of the book is called Black Slave Owners. The person who wrote the book is Larry, I kind of keep messing his last name up, it's K-O-G-E-R, Colger, that Colger?
Well, right now it doesn't matter, you know, we'll get it.
I want the audience to see what's common to you that you have, the knowledge that you have, brother. Most of the people that's reading don't believe that they're black folks participating. They can believe on black-on-black crime. They can believe that a guy breaking your house, he black, or rob you, and he black. They can believe that. But they can't believe that a black elected official who a blue-ribbon Negro, a Negro that went to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, have a hatred toward his own people and only support policies and procedures in city hall and city council and major capital cities to only harm people. They can't believe this. So you have to give people what they call a reference, something that they can go read to educate the people so they can come up out of Uncle, because some of our people have been not going to church. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Our people have not been going to church. Our people have been going to Uncle Tom's cabin.
Okay, you're right.
They have not been going to the mosque. They've been going to Brother's Palace.
That is correct.
They have not been going to the synagogues. They've been going to the synagogues of Satan, Kabbalism.
That is correct. You are so right. You understand?
So can I make
an announcement
real quick before you guys? I just want to let everyone know we have a lot of people on this line. We have a few ground rules for the people that are listening. We want to respect the fact that we have a guest on the line. He's willing to spend his time and share information with us. We ask that you please do not push one and give a commercial, give a website, give anything. We want to give him an opportunity to talk and to share some information with us. If you have a question, a comment, or a concern, please push one, and we'll get you right on where you can ask as many questions as you like. Again, I would like to say please do not give out any contact information on this line. This is just for us to talk so that we can share with him who we are, he can share with us who he is and what he does. Now, I have a question for you, Mr. McKinley.
Yes, ma'am.
Chicago, the crime in Chicago, along with the unemployment situation, what do you think is the reason for so much black-on-black crime, and is there a way for us to sit down with some of the gang leaders and have a powwow and really sit down? Because we have some things we need to talk to them about that goes far beyond what anyone else can think. And what I was thinking about today was actually setting up a meeting with the heads of the gangs, especially the blacks, the African-American gangs in Chicago, and actually sitting down with them and having a powwow and talk to them. So could you please elaborate on that for us?
There are no gangs in the city of Chicago. That is a misnomer. What you, in the 1980s and the 70s, the 1970s, 80s, and the 90s, the mayor, Mayor Daley, successfully locked up every member who was running any so-called gang organization and sent them to the federal penitentiary and even to the Rockies. What you have in Chicago is narco-terrorism. The same problem you have in New York, and you don't have it in other cities, but the problem that you have in Chicago is a hostile takeover of Chicago black communities with narco-terrorists. Narco-terrorists are Mexican nationals who bring drugs in the city of Chicago, who's given free rein to bring drugs in the city of Chicago, international narco-terrorists, who are in a joint relationship with Arabs, who bring the Arabs send heroin to Mexico from Afghanistan. They smuggle it across the border, but because the Arabs do not want to get caught with Afghan dope, the Arabs traded for cocaine. They distributed these drugs sometimes to their stores, sometimes in their mothers. They so holy, but they come in our mothers and try to give us dope to sell dope for them. I'm talking about Arabs.
All right.
From over across the water. These Mexican nationals who are international terrorists comes in our neighborhood and deliver the drugs to drug dealers. These are not gang members. There's a difference between a drug dealer and a gang member. A drug dealer has no allegiance to any particular group. Mm. He drops it off where they tell him to drop it off at. Now, there's a news article. I have to give people some type of source of information that they just don't take my word on. There's a Bloomberg magazine just did an article with a friend of mine by the name of Nooney Ward. The name of the article was The Chicago Mexican Connection. It's in Bloomberg magazine. So those listeners that's listening to me, try prove the things that I'm saying. If I'm right or wrong, prove them. Because I'm giving you the resources so you can go back. The magazine proves that all of this violence that we got in Chicago is based on this, not a gang violence, is drug related.
Okay.
So you have a drug-related problem in Chicago, just like you have a drug-related problem in New York, just like you have a drug-related problem in Atlanta, you have a drug-related problem. Now, I want to say all that because I just don't want to say that part and not leave this part out. There was a study done in Milwaukee in 2010. They released a study in 2011. They said that 55% of all African-American men from the age of 16 to the age of 65 or 64 when you retire, 55% of them is unemployment. So when you see 100 black men, 55% of them ain't got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And so they fill the gap. The United States government, notice, they fill the gap. They fill the gap with narcotics. These narcotics create a urban destabilization.
Ooh.
Narcotics in the black community, listen to my language. I want y'all to listen to me clearly. I know what I'm saying. I'm up here where it's at.
Okay.
It's called urban destabilization. Urban destabilization.
Mm. I've heard that before.
Destabilization.
Yeah,
urban heard. Destabilization and it's regional urban destabilization. And I want everybody to listen to me now. There's 120 urban cities that are filled up with black folks. In these cities where it's filled up with black folks, they're pumping these drugs only in our community. Only crack cocaine is being pumped in our white folks. If they want crack, they got to come in the black neighborhood. They cannot buy crack in their neighborhood. They do not even sell it. You can't even get it. They can only come in our neighborhood. It's already been decided to this because they have international narco-terrorists in Chicago, Mexican nationals as well as Arab nationals. The mayor that we have is Mayor Ron Caligulius Emanuel, a very conniving and schemish individual. He worked in the White House, and he worked underneath Bill Clinton. And he was so offensive and so disrespectful that Barack Obama had to ask him to leave the White House, and so they paid him off by letting him come here to Chicago, and we've been living miserably ever after. Now, it wasn't like we were living happily ever after when Mayor Daley was here. But I'm saying that about this mayor. That means that this mayor has clearance. That means that he's been in Washington, D.C. He has clearance to go in there and know about what's going on in Chicago on an international level.
Mm-hmm. That
the
is correct.
That you have in Chicago, the murders that you have in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen, let's listen to me on this phone. There were 525 murders in the city of Chicago last year. Out of the 525 murders, half of those murders was never solved. That means, first of all, in Chicago, you have to be cautious on people who are being arrested for murder, too. You have to be cautious for people who are being arrested for murder because Chicago has the highest capital of people who have been arrested for murders that they had nothing to do with. They have over 300 people that they have released for murders that they don't know nothing about. That means there were 300 people that did do the murder that were still on the streets.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
Don't investigate the murders. I have talked to police, have drove down on me. I'm thinking I got a ticket that they can take me to jail about something because I protest everybody. And the police have drove down on me and told me, say, listen, man, as for how many people has been arrested for these murders, they have not arrested anybody. They have, don't even investigate them. They come in the neighborhood, somebody get killed, they don't even investigate them. So some of these murders that you're seeing is somebody that killed your son. Now, I want you to hear this here, too, ladies and gentlemen, because all this is being done with a mayor that came and got them, a chief of police from Jersey, from Newark, New Jersey, who was being investigated for three police murders. The chief of the police, McCarthy, that's in Chicago right now, why would you go get a man? Because he know that this man don't know nothing about Chicago. Here's a man that you bring to Chicago. He don't even know how to get to it. If they tell him to come on the south side on 79th Street, he had to get on MapQuest. He don't know how to get on 79th Street in the car. You understand what I'm saying? He's done that. He deliberately got somebody else incompetent so he can say, well, this police is incompetent, but the regular police said, hey, man, we can't investigate these murders under this crazy man the way he thinks Chicago supposed to be. You have to have people that's indigenous from their own police department to deal with the people from that police department.
That is
to
correct.
Deal with that community. You can't get some people from outside that area. Like me, I can come down there and talk to Atlanta and tell y'all, give y'all a strategy. But I can't, certain stuff I can't do because I'm not from down there.
Yeah, that is correct.
I'm not putting you down. I'm just throwing that out there. So
but
I'm
I
saying
to,
that the... Go ahead.
Go ahead. We listen.
Hello? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So
go
the
ahead.
Point I'm trying to, okay, the point I'm trying to make to you about the violence in Chicago is headed up by narco-terror. There's another report in Reader's Magazine. In Reader's Magazine, it's a Chicago Reader's Magazine that showed that the DEA had busted the twins who were bringing all the cocaine in the city of Chicago and sending them to jail, giving them their time like everybody else do. They took the twins and had the twins, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, dump 8 tons of crack cocaine from 2008 to 2013 in the black neighborhood. So you don't have a gang problem. You have a drug-related crime problem. So whenever you people hear about that, you know, and okay, now that's one thing. Now, we didn't deal with the streets on that violence. Now, there's a new drug out. I want to get this out because I want the audience to hear about two things. The marijuana that these young people are smoking, it's not marijuana. It's not reefer, period.
Okay.
It's a genetic engineered drug called Lao. It has a real, it stank. Lao is marijuana. It's OG. Go Google this. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you nothing that you can't go on YouTube and Google. It's OG marijuana. This is strong marijuana that was grown in California, but it was cross-breeded with mushroom. So now it's not even no longer marijuana. It was cross-breeded with mushroom. So what it does, it makes people go into hallucination. Now, only 1% of society has hallucinations. You know, can go off into a trance, you can hypnotize and all that old stuff. But these mushrooms can put you in a hallucinated state. And when you're in subconsciously smoking, you're thinking you're smoking reefer. These are young people that's listening to me now, because they think they just smoke a reefer.
Mm-hmm.
When you're smoking this stuff, that music you hear, all that occultic music that you hear, the Jay-Z's, and, you know, the occultic music, all that devil music, that demonic music that they're throwing out here now, all that devil music that they took over the so-called room, and now they ain't no devil music. All that devil music they're throwing out, you smoking that reefer, and you go out into a hypnotic trance and go out with a pistol, and you trying to figure out what you're doing in the county jail with a devil murder.
Okay.
This is why they talking about legalizing. That's the reason they talking about legalizing and selling it to young kids.
That is correct. I feel you.
They have another drug, and they have another drug that they take with it. It's called X, but it's not X. It's something. It's a whole nother drug, but they called it X.
Yeah.
So these drugs that they're putting on our community has got our people either they're going. These are the young kids that are the victims of the crack epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
When the crack epidemic hit, they had a lot of stories about how the young girl, how the mama couldn't protect her child because she was on crack, and the villain, the guy smoking the crack, or even the one selling it, took advantage of her daughter. Well, they wasn't just raping little girls. They was raping little boys, too.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these little boys you see them walking with their pants down, and they got a pistol on them, and they in the street. Some of these little boys y'all see, oh, they didn't rape them, too.
Yeah.
They victims of it, too. See, all this happened when they said a crack war. This is what happens. When a war happens, people be raping the girls. They be raping the boys. Folks be getting put in wheelchairs. People be getting blind. People be getting paralyzed. All that happens when you have a war. So they had a crack war in the black neighborhood, only in our neighborhood. And this is the rest. This is the – and all this was done with black leadership. They couldn't have done it without black leadership.
That is correct.
They couldn't have done it without our so-called priesthood being corrupted through these secret societies and the better religion that they practice.
Okay, I got it. Let me say something. We have someone that has pushed one, and we're going to get them on the air. Brother Donny, you have a response to that real quick, and we're going to get this other person on the air?
Well, I want you to get the person, the other person on the air, and so that they can get their thing in, too. I can talk later on.
Okay. All right, Eric Code 111, you're on the air. Go ahead.
My apologies. I accidentally hit one. I didn't have a comment. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Number one didn't have a comment. Okay, well, that's what we're going to say. So we understand that it's basically genocide that has been plagued on our people. Our issue, though, is with you being an ex-offender, you being in the penitentiary and have had the experience of the penitentiary. You know, we know that the young people who are selling drugs and distributing drugs to our own people and are killing our people, they have to have, some of them are organized and some of them aren't. So we know Rahm Emanuel and what he stands for. We've been watching that, too, as a people. We've been watching it all. So our standpoint is this. We need to still get to those leaders because, see, everything starts from the head down. You know, we're not concerned about the pastors because we know what they stand for. We got to go to the streets because this is the only way this is going to stop. You understand? We have to be able to reach those men and women that have been out there that have the power and that have had the influence because, you know, one way or the other, the young kids look up to somebody. So, you know, whether they're gangsters, whether they mob, whether they are gang leaders or whatever, they look up to somebody. We've got to get their attention through some method, and this is the method that we feel would be more effective. How do we set up something like this to be able to at least go in and sit down and talk?
Well, first of all, let me say this soon. The young people are trying to exit the dope game.
Okay.
And what the brother just said down in Atlanta is the answer. You don't have to go on any corner and draft anybody to go with you. All you got to do is facilitate the policies and the procedures that brother just said about going into the hood, getting those houses from the banks, because that's who own those houses. Demanding, protesting the bank and demand the bank give under the Reinvestment Act, invest in those properties. Maybe if they donate the properties, you protest a different bank to get the money to fix the properties.
That is
they
correct.
Also, the Department of Labor, which plays a critical point of this criminal process with the Labor Department. The Department of Labor is the most criminal process against black folks because what the Department of Labor do, it validates all of the trades, all the labor trades.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Illinois, there's 400,000 trades. Out of the 400,000 trades, there are 15,000 African American. The Department of Labor gives education dollars to the trades. So therefore, this man that I'm talking to on the phone, he wants training dollars from the Department of Labor so he can train those same young people that you just mentioned, young lady, to come into these buildings and fix these buildings. There's his money to do the training so he can pay these young men. He can mentor these young men. He could nurture these young men. And he can show these young men another trade where they can get on. Our people, and I have proof. I have proof. I want everybody to listen to this. I have proof. In 1865, when we was brought out of slavery, we were prepared for all the trades. We were carpenters. We were masons. We were doing Rush White City chain gang. We were really didn't need no chain gang. We were doing all them roads down the south and on the north, up north. The chain gang got eliminated when they gave the federal money to the cities and said that these is contractors. They said, shoot, we ain't giving this money to these black folks on the chain gang. We're going to take the money and fix the highways. The Labor Department is the criminal process. And in Chicago, the Labor Department, the lady that was head of the Labor Department was a Latino lady out of one of the wards. I forget that. Salinas sister. Barack Obama had her the head of the Labor Department. What she did, she made sure that she gave all those Latino organizations, made sure that they got the money so that they can put their people to work. Now, I'm not upset with any Latinos. I'm not upset with any Mexicans or anybody from South America. I don't have no beef with you because you're taking care of your family. So
that
is correct. I don't want you to tell me how I should feel or what I should say about mine. I ain't telling you what to say about yours, and you sure ain't the hell going to hold me hostage to not say nothing about you. Ain't no brown and black relationship with my people when you dump and dump on my people and my people go to jail and you don't go to jail. So ain't no brown and black relationship. I'm going back to the point at hand. Do you know what I'm saying? Black folks got to do for black folks.
They don't
look for nobody that's in leadership to do nothing for us. Now, because we're a part of this government, I know everybody wants, we ain't a part of the government, all that. Hey, that's another argument. We can deal with that argument among ourselves. But because these people take our taxes, you know what I'm saying? Even them people that be talking about we ain't a part of government be trying to get their, at the end of the year, that income tax money, what's that money? They be trying to get that money then, don't they? They're part of the government then, but then before then, they ain't trying to get it. But because we are a part of this so-called said government, the United States of America, I'm saying to you that we have a right to demand that the Department of Labor in these 120 urban areas, that the grassroots, we do not want you to give our money to the Urban League. The Urban League is not a black organization.
That is correct.
We do not want you to give our money to the NWCP. The NWCP is a colored people's organization. And if you hear people saying people of color, that person is brainwashed too. It's just saying the word backwards. People of color are colored people. People of color just saying the word backwards. So that means that anybody that be saying that type of stuff, let you know. Those are key words that he's letting the white man know. I'm not going to get too far to land. We're people of color. And when people talk like that, they say that we don't have a national origin. We are we come off the continent of Africa, and that we were several different tribes and nations that came off the continent of Africa.
Let me interrupt you for one second.
Some of us was Hebrews. Some of us was of various nations. We came out as a multitude. So we have a right to demand that we receive the same benefit, but if we all confused on drug and confused on other stuff, we won't get the city, the government services that we demanded. We should demand before this president leaves.
Okay, let me ask a question. Listen, I've been trying to get a support group going so that we could sit down and find out and use a strategy so that we can get this money, you understand? Now, I did a little research and I went into to find out the Second Chance Act. In 2012, they gave up $100 plus million, you understand, for groups that had a plan that could...
And Danny Davis.
He did that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, each year, you understand, they give up X amount of dollars. What I wanted to try to...
They make sure that they give the money. Now, let's stop now. Let's go right there. Let's talk about the money. Let's don't go nowhere but right with the money.
Yeah, this is what I'm trying to do. I want to make this clear, you understand, is that what I wanted to try to do is I wanted to try to get $10 million over a period of 4 years to set up this plan to support our brothers and sisters that are locked up in them penitentiaries with nothing, that are stagnated. Once they come out of the penitentiary, they ain't got nothing to go to go back to the penitentiary. I wanted to try to give them a trade.
Let me help you a little bit. I'm ahead of you. Let me help you. Can I help you a little bit, brother?
Yes, come on.
I want to encourage you. I want you to succeed. So I want to give you some of the information about me. Danny K. Davis, Congressman Danny Day Davis, he's a do-nothing black elected official in the city of Chicago, called himself trying to outdo the grassroots next offender groups in Chicago. So he introduced a bill to for the audience so they can hear what's going on. He introduced a Second Chance Act to Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton? Reagan. I mean, not Reagan, Bush.
He sent it to Bush.
Yeah,
once
Bush.
He sent it to Bush, Bush signed it. When Bush signed it, originally they didn't get no money. But the second time, Bush made that they chopped some money, and he put up $100 million. Okay, now, when he put the $100 million up, now let's go back to what I just got through telling you. All the name brand Negro organizations ran in there, and they gave them the money. Now, you got money. They didn't gave the Second Chance money to people down there in Atlanta already. The money they didn't gave it to is the Urban League, MWCP, and the same Negro preachers. What you got to do is raise up. You got to raise up and say, don't, like I did at that meeting, don't give them people our money. Matter of fact, we want a federal investigation. Why would they ain't doing nothing with that money?
Okay, yeah. Now, this is where I'm stuck at. You understand?
Okay.
How do we get? I mean, like I said, I wanted a support group so that we could derive a plan so that we can get that money. You understand? So that
you
we can
be
because I got
a
proposal already
agency.
Sitting on go. You understand what I'm saying?
Listen to me. We kicking it. We talking about it. Let's chop it up. That's how you do it. You want to be a delegate agency. You can't be a delegate agency. I just told you the people that's in front of you. You haven't said that they don't represent you yet.
No.
You're
right.
File formal complaints against them people. You got to file complaints to the Justice Department. You got to file a complaint. Man, I want these people to go to jail. These people got my people locked up. This is how we do it. We just need one file up here.
Okay. How hard or how easy is it to be done?
I don't want y'all to get it twisted. These are not our people.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that it should be a way where we could get this done. Because, see, here...
Not without a struggle.
I'm down for the struggle. I really,
Go ahead.
Because I want to be part of the struggle. You understand? Because, see, there's nothing that's going to happen good unless there is a struggle. You understand?
Okay, hold on. Let me say this. I was out. Because it's good to have a female in this thing, because how about...
Well, I'm not saying that, yeah. Tumshi.
We set up a meeting and come to Chicago. If we were to set up a meeting with you and come to Chicago, would you be willing to sit down with us and help us to map out a strategy where we would be able to do this? Because, you know, to try to hash it out over the phone and to go through the ins and outs, I mean, the information is excellent, and people are writing things down, but we're a nation. This is the nation of Yehuda, and Brother Adonijah is a part of the United Nation of Israel, and we're also trying to find a way that we can reach our people. So
I don't have no problem. The way I came upon you
was that Al Sharpton gave a town hall meeting, and you were on YouTube, and I saw you on there. So tell us a little more about the town hall meeting, and then maybe in, say, the next 60 days, we can set up a meeting and bring a group of people up there and have a think tank. How about that?
I don't have no problem with that. Actually, let's talk about that first, then we'll talk about Al Sharpton second. First of all, I don't have no problem with y'all coming up here. If y'all can come up here, I'll give you a tour of the city. I'll show you the blueprint of how these people is doing it up here, because every city that they doing this in, Chicago, is the blueprint.
Okay.
The guys in Atlanta, guys from Atlanta have been calling me. I got a couple guys down there have been calling me. Actually, I got a brother down there named Mac. He even cussed out them people down there, clowning with them, because he's from Chicago. And for some reason, they think guys from Chicago won't get out on them. You know, they bring that racist stuff, man. You mess around and get what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no problem. You know, I just had to go to jail for knocking 3-4 y'all. You ain't going to do nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? That's how guys is from Chicago. That's our mindset. You know what I'm saying? So they try to contain us. We have a whole different mindset when we go places. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times get wiped out because the people be like, man, y'all too strong with that stuff. And sometimes it be on the negative side. I'm just keeping it real. But what I'm saying is I don't have no problem with y'all coming here. I can drive you around the city of Chicago and show you how this structure is set up. I can show you, and when I start showing you this stuff, you're going to start saying, well, they're doing the same thing down here, because the city of Chicago, the United States have what they call, an organization called All the Mayors of the United States Come Together. When they have all the mayors come together, Mayor Daley was the lead man of that. He was the president of all that. So Mayor Daley was going to each city setting up a carbon copy of how to keep the Negroes in check in the 120 cities. And so all those 120 cities, they were showing the white folks who, whether they're Democrats, because it wasn't about no Democrat or Republican. It was just to show certain people how to keep the Negro in check. And they was working their angle through the secret societies. Their whole issue is through these fraternities, frats, and through them press halls. And I'm saying it on this radio. They are a part of this stuff. They cannot do it unless they bind the strong man. Can nobody come in your house and do nothing in your house unless they tie you up first. They are doing this through those secret societies. So when you come to Chicago, I'll show you everything you want to see. And I got Hebrew friends up here. They got a temple up here. I can introduce you to someone. I mess with a brother by the name of Bob Israel. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't got no problem. I don't mess with all of them. Some of them I got beef with. You know what I'm saying? But that's anything. You ain't going to go. It ain't going to be all or nothing. You know how
it goes. Here's the thing that I want you to understand here. See, I believe in my heart that the Almighty is with us. That's why we still here as a nation of people, whether we recognize it or not, because the Almighty said, the Almighty said that he was not going to make an end to us. You understand? And so anybody that's put in place here today, any black organization or anything like that, that's just to sustain our living until the Almighty decides to make his grand entrance. Now, I solely believe that the Almighty will not let a thing happen to you, me, or anybody if we're working towards building our nation. And our nation needs real bad help here. We need some help here. Otherwise, man, you understand, we can kiss our butt goodbye. You understand? Because them white, we don't have no win over them white folks if it don't be for the Creator. You understand? So I want you to understand there. I understand, man. You know, we have to have in our heart the protection of the Almighty. You understand? And that don't mean that we ain't supposed to have no gun and protect our own. That's not even realistic. You understand what I'm saying? So, but we got to understand that the Almighty is the one that's going to orchestrate all of this and make it happen. You understand? We just got to be the facilitators. We got to be the ones that put this stuff in motion. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, great. On that note, we're going to continue because we're enjoying this, and we're going to make a brief announcement for anyone who has a question, a comment, concern. Please push 1. I'd like to let you know also this is not an opportunity for you to advertise yourself. If you want to ask a question, you're more than welcome to do that. Do not give a website. Do not give any information other than a question being asked, because we are trying to put together a think tank. We are definitely going to come to Chicago. Brother, and I'm not even going to say your name over the radio anymore, but we're definitely going to come to Chicago. We're going to set up a think tank with you. I do have your phone number, and if it's okay, I'm going to write that down so Brother Adonia and I can call you after this is over and set it up. Anyone that's interested in joining us in Chicago for a think tank so that we can actually go up there and see what's going on. We can actually go up there and meet with brothers like this and put together a strategy for us to be able to create jobs, to create sustainability so that we can contain ourselves and be able to live from day to day, please don't hesitate to email me. My name is Yaena. It's spelled Y-A-H-E-E-N-A. Yisrael is Y-I-S-R-A-E-L at gmail.com. Because, see, what happens is, brother, we have to contain this information, because if you go to giving your name out and, you know, everybody, people will call you from all kind of organizations that will have a mess. So we have to keep it organized so that we have an organized situation and we can come up there and actually sit down and talk and do it the right way. So, again, if you have a question, comment, concern, you know, we can get to Chicago. Like I said, we'll set it out for 60 days from now to give everybody an opportunity to make that happen. So we can actually come up there and sit down and talk, and that way it won't cost you anything, and we'll try to get up there so we can make it happen, because we need to do something, or we're going to starve to death. We're going to starve, literally starve to death.
Yeah, sure. Let me say this, and I'm going to let you continue, my brother. You understand? Listen. When they cut these programs
to us overseas and send money to different countries, that they're cutting the food stamps. So we've got to do something. Free?
You understand? For our future generation. I mean, if it's only for our future generation, you understand? We got to do something, man. I'm sick to death of having our. See, we contribute to our own demise, man. You understand, with all of this killing and murdering and homosexuality and marrying into the other nations, man, I'm telling you, if we don't do nothing, man, we gonna be totally annihilated. You understand? So we got to do something to hold on to what little we got. Now, they got this brother called Umar Johnson. You understand what I'm saying? He makes a lot of sense. You understand? And I would like to get him in on what we can do. Instead of, you understand, we all got these separate individual organizations. You understand what I'm saying? We can't make it like that. You understand? All they got to do is infiltrate one, you understand, organization, and then after they infiltrate that one organization, that disappears, and then they infiltrate. See, we can't do that. You understand? We got be for us. We got to do something for us. If we don't do nothing, we gonna perish as a nation. Hallelujah.
All right. All right.
Now, are you familiar with Mr. Johnson?
Am I?
Yeah, he comes to Chicago. You talking about Umar?
Umar Johnson, yes. Dr. Umar Johnson. I give him this credit because he sure is powerful. I'm talking about he is powerful. You understand? He's talking about, see, we need schools. You understand? So we can start teaching our children, you understand, the right way to go. You understand what I'm saying?
He's talking about getting a school up here. And that's a good thing. He's talking about getting a school. See, the problem with the schools up here is that they want to get to the Blue Ribbon.
We should be able to get one or two of them schools.
That's true.
Right.
That's
the problem in Chicago is, I keep telling y'all, the problem is not that what you're talking about, it's the Negroes getting in front of us. See, we don't allow them in Chicago. We don't allow the Negroes get in front of us.
It's like they're turning into something.
Man, look, when they send them house Negroes in there, man, they do real-life fights. That means what you see with Al Sharpton? Listen to me. I'm trying to tell y'all about Chicago.
But you guess what? If you make a person hungry enough, you won't have a problem on your hand, because guess what? Survival is the first nature, law of nature. Everybody has the right to survive. And when you talk about 80% of the poor that's on welfare is black people, we got a serious problem, because if they cut them food stamps, we got some serious issues going on here. We have so many other issues.
Can I say something to you about the food stamps? Them same white Democrats, those liberals, they'll be up there talking about, they for black folks. The Republicans brought it, and the white Democrats signed it off. Because the House is run by the Republicans. The Senate is run by Democrats. And Dick Durbin is the one who signed off of it because he's from Chicago. So when they be talking about Democrat, Republican, I'm gonna run with one party, but I'm gonna be my party whatever party I run on, I'm running to accomplish what I'm supposed to do. Don't try to make them parties my party.
That
because
is correct.
Those parties, y'all are using parties all kind of ways. Like you know, they have the shell game where they had a pee underneath the shell, and let's put money underneath the shell. And they have different names on there, Democrat, Republican, and they'll be shifting it around. You'll be trying to figure it out. I ain't on none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of those parties, the Democrats or the Republicans. Before
let
you
me
have
say
the
this
Democrats,
here. Let me say this here.
Or
look
the
here.
Republicans, you have
black folks. We cannot worry about those folks. We have to pay more attention to us. You understand? We have to use their system for us.
To our advantage. To our advantage.
Excuse me?
To our advantage.
Yeah, to our advantage, man. You understand? We got to be, and see, we got to be dedicated and committed to our thing. You understand? This is what that brother is talking about when he said, with Omar Johnson. You understand? He's talking about being dedicated and committed to our thing. You understand what I'm saying? We cannot even think about what they're going to do because I don't believe in – I believe that the Almighty will watch over us and take us. We still here. After all them 400 years, they've been trying to annihilate us. We still here. Why? Because
all right.
The Almighty is behind us. Hallelujah.
I believe that. I believe that. So you got some questions? You said some people want to ask questions?
Yes, I'm going to let everyone know. If you have a question, comment, concern, please push 1. Now, are you running for office in Chicago, or is that your goal to get up?
No, not right now. No, I'm not running for any office right now. I'm just back doing my activist work, protesting, demanding that they put African-Americans to work, stuff like that. That's all I'm doing right now.
Let me ask a question here.
Inmates have you worked since you started?
Oh shoot, I would say I can't count. I got some guys working right now. I just left from a construction site where I got 2 guys met to the joint working right now.
Yeah.
I just left a construction site.
Yeah.
So then if we need to put together a construction team of guys that would be willing, say, for instance, that we came up with enough money to buy some of these buildings in Detroit and in Chicago, buildings that they may give away for a dollar because they need rehabbing, they need to have it done, you know, would we be able, through you, to put together some guys that would be willing to come and do work on those buildings and get us some schools together for our children? Those are the things that we're trying to put in place right now. So the fact that we have you, you're a vital piece of the puzzle. And
that is correct.
I am so proud to have met you.
That Yaini was able to meet you, you understand, that you're able to come on here and give us some information. I am so proud of that, and I'm happy to know you, my Lord. You understand?
I just want us to
do something for our folk, man, because I'm sick. Of course, them folks ain't going to do nothing for us, man. And I'm sick of us going to them and asking them for shit.
I just want to say that it's very important that we see the resource in this whole thing. And if you have access to men that have construction skills, not only will they be able to do construction, but they will be able to teach our young people how to do construction. So if each one sometimes we got to find a way around the system be able to do it and to come and actually have some sort of a apprenticeship program going on and get these people ready, all of the electricians. These are the things, because a long time ago, we didn't have schools. Our grandfathers taught the sons, and the sons taught their sons. It was handed down like that. So, unfortunately, we have to go back to those same things to be able to educate our people so that we can be self-sustaining. We may not be able to get the $100 million from the government, but if we know how to do something, we can sustain our own selves. Do you agree?
Well, I think that you're hitting on a very vital note, and that note is vocation. Everybody is not, you know, the intellectuals have sold all our people that they need to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
All white folks ain't going to college. If they was, I wouldn't be seeing them on the construction site. Mm-hmm. If they was, I wouldn't be seeing them being doing engineering. If they was, I wouldn't be seeing them fixing elevators. If all white folks was going to college, why is black folks keep telling all black folks to go to college? Because the intellectual, matter of fact, I don't take it any further. Why black folks ain't telling black folks to be nurses, sending out sisters so they can be nurses like they used to back in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s? Why intellectuals be, I keep telling y'all, that there's an element, an evil element of our own people who are misguiding and saying you first have to break that yoke of our people who are listening to these people. You got to distinguish that we are over here and they'll ask for us in our house, we're going to serve the Lord. You got to say it like that. Man,
you know how we, you know how we get those same people? By example. We have to show an example.
Right.
We have
That's
to put
right.
an example out there. You understand? We have to be successful
right.
in what we do. You understand? If what little people that we get together, we have to start putting... see, I believe that the Almighty will bless our
That's
hand
right.
if we show him what we want to do. You understand?
Right.
In the name of, in his
right.
name. You understand?
Yeah.
If we don't
yeah.
do nothing, you understand, then we're going to always have these little folks that's going to try to get something from them white folks. And it's going to turn out to be nothing because we got that underhanded scheming game going on all the time. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that if we're doing it with the name of the Almighty. You understand? We have to put an example out there. We have to show them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree with you.
Now, when we...
So, again, I ask you the question, understanding that what we're doing, say in 60 days from today, which is it's the 30th of December, so say the first week in March, we set up a date where we can actually come to you, preferably on a Friday or a Thursday, preferably, if that's okay. Is there a way that you can set a venue up where we can actually come to where you are and sit down and map out a strategy and get things prepared for us to be able to do what we need to do? And then let me tell you why I say that. This is what we need. Construction people that have skills. We need pipe layers. We need electricians. We need carpenters.
I know about the trade. There are 32 different subcontractors that you have to have that's in the trade to build a house. So I know what all you need. I'm saying we'll like you said, we'll talk offline and we'll set up a time, and then I'm going to talk to some more people that's in Chicago and make it a family affair. I don't have no problem with it. I said that up front.
Yes, sir. So
I'm in agreement with you.
We'll talk on the phone,
and we'll set a time and a date, and we'll go back and forth so that way that I can make sure I don't, be doing something on that day. Because I do got to go up to Washington, I think, in that month. But let's make sure that what we talking about doing, we can pull it off. Because I definitely want to, the brother that's down in Atlanta, I definitely want to try to put him with one of my guys down there named Mac. And I definitely want to, work something out with you. And we need to try to make this more inclusive also. So if we talk offline, we can talk more because, we're not trying to let the enemy know. Everything, because the enemy is listening too.
That
we
is
have
correct.
Different kind of people that's listening to your program. You got friends, loved ones, curious people, nosy people, and enemies. And you got enemies on here that would love to hear the plan. So we'll just talk offline, and we'll sit together, and we'll talk about the plan. Okay, ma'am?
Hallelujah.
Right, that'll work. It makes me very happy because, you know why? Because
all right.
if each one, we're going to build this nation one person at a time. And we soldiers, so we don't have a problem coming into the line of fire because, in order for you to make something happen that's going to be life-lasting, there's a risk involved. There's an element
of risk. That is correct.
Every
has a risk.
But we've got to be willing to take that risk and to actually come and sit down. Because like I tell them all the time, I have people that are listening to this show all over the world. They listen all over the world, Hebrews all over the world, regular people who don't know consciously about who they are, where they all over the world, they listen. And like I said, we're trying to put together in the Nation of Yehuda a chamber of commerce for all the 50 states in the United States for people that have specialized skills, whereas if our people need those skills, we can call people with specializations, and they can actually come and do the work. So this is all a part of nation building and getting this nation built. So so that we can do what we need to do. So I'm excited.
Okay.
I'm happy about it. And Brother Donia, you go ahead. You can have it from here.
I just wanted to say that you bring tears to my eyes, my Lord. You understand? Because I've been trying to get this together, but I know it's going to take time. And I know that the Almighty is in this here. And see, he's the one that's orchestrating everything. We just got to be the soldiers, the service, you understand, to make this happen. You understand? And so I know this is going to happen, and it brings tears to my eyes to know that it's working now. You understand? And it's still going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. Nothing good has ever come out of lack of service. If we don't get if we don't do nothing, then we agree to whatever happens to us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to do something. That's my motto. You understand? We can sit back and talk, and we can talk scripture, you understand, and all of that stuff. But if we don't do nothing, man, that's just rhetoric. That's just nonsense, Matt, to me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. I agree. But I'm curious. You said you have some people in the audience that want to ask some questions. I'm curious to see what their questions are.
Well, I think they listening. You know, it's a lot of people on this line, and a lot of times they don't push. They just listen. You know, and
I
emailed this show out to over 2,000 people. So going out to over 2,000 different people that will be able to listen to this show, you know, to understand that as a nation of people, we are gathering ourselves together so we can be self-sustaining, because we have to be able to take care of ourselves. What do you think the mood is with the black people that are actually in Chicago? Do you think they're behind this 100%? Are black people just, you know, because a lot of times we find out they're just caught up in their own world, and as long as it don't happen to me, I really don't care. Do you experience...
Well, the housing foreclosure crisis definitely struck them. You have a lot of blacks in the city of Chicago, which, like in the city that you're in, and whoever's listening, if they live in a black city, it's the same thing happened to them. They have a structure. I want to break down a structure on how they pull this stuff off. They have, first of all, in order for them to do what they do, they hire clergy. The clergy that they hire most of the time is the big churches.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got a big church in your town, and he don't never say nothing. When the police shoot a guy in the back and that preacher don't say nothing, most time he getting paid off.
Mm.
It ain't about Jesus with him. He ain't preaching no Jesus. I'm telling you, he ain't preaching no Allah, and it sure don't know nothing about no prophet, no dry leaf. So a lot of times you hear these people and you see these people and they doing good because they're part of the administration. Most of the time the people that's holding on, that's a board. Those are the ones that are crying loud and spare not. Those are the ones that are not a part of the system. So one of the things I want them to know is that they have corrupt the black priesthood. Black folks have a priesthood. Despite what everybody think, black folks know God. We know him. And the Spirit of God has not departed. The Spirit of God has not departed from the young people. Even though they're out there on drugs and in the streets and doing all the spirit of, because our ancestors prayed for them long time ago. And we, unlike other people, we have a covenant with the great God of Almighty.
That is correct.
And so since we have a covenant, he honors that covenant. Even in our ignorance, he honors us. So by them young people being our children, and those cheap, you know, Russell Simmons came here, I had to protest him and bring him in order. And I told him, and I'm saying it on this phone, we recognize the young people, and the young people's blood is precious to us. So when our young people are dying out here in the streets and being murdered and killed, they're being sacrificed on the altar of somebody else's ambition.
That is correct.
What we have to make sure that our young people, they're not evil. They're misguided. They're going in the wrong direction. They're confused. They've been lied to. They've been bamboozled. But they're not evil. There's a difference between being evil, they're young, and they're confused. I'm not here to try to help these old fools. I'm sent to the young and the yet unborn. If these old fools want to go, that's on them, because they have a free will to choose. They know right from wrong. I'm not sent to them. I ain't trying to hear what y'all talking about. I don't care what you said. Maybe that's why I'm chose to do the things I do, because I am not gay sympathetic, and I'm not house Negro sympathetic. I don't care nothing about what you think about me. I'm not your friend.
That is correct. Hallelujah.
Don't get along. So these young people that's out here, they attack our young people. Do we love our young people? They attack our young people. Our young people, every day they put them on the Jerry Springer shows. They put them on those type of shows, and they rape their minds. They have them on the show, and they all want to talk about who baby it ain't the baby, but it's all about getting you on there, us. I'm talking about us now. And you look in the audience, and it's a bunch of other people in the audience, not us, but other people in the audience booing you, shaming you, scarring you, publicly humiliating you, tearing you down. All that's being done right on broad TV. What is that entertainment? When we have been to the point where we want to watch somebody be humiliated, it ain't her baby, it is her baby. It's not like her business.
That is correct.
It's not like that's his business. And then if you get him on there and they say it is his baby, he ain't done nothing for it before. He still ain't going to do nothing for it. So you ain't accomplished nothing. All this is about stripping the young people, stripping them of their mind, tearing them down, making them feel bad, making them lose hope. In order for them to do what they want, they must instill a sense of hopelessness in the young people. They want to deter them because they know if the young people step back and say, hold up.
Yeah.
I know I got a destiny. I know my life ain't. God ain't just told me to be nobody. This is it. Me standing out here with a pistol and some dope on me. This is what it's about. Me out here with a bunch of babies and no man. This is it. This is all my life consists of. I know God got something bigger than that for me. And maybe there's somebody listening on your show right now. All I want to say is this here. Man, don't throw the towel in on yourself, because God has not departed from our young people.
But that is correct.
Because our priesthood is corrupt, they're not pointing them in the direction of the Most High. See, our priesthood, I don't care what our brothers was. If our brothers was whatever, it ain't number one God. It ain't number one God. All the other stuff ain't number one God. So whether our brothers was going through the Muslim that way, they still was talking about God.
That is correct.
The original God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whether our brothers was going through the Old Testament that way, well, they still was talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Or whether
that
they
is
was
correct.
Talking about through the Jesus their way. They still don't talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they lie about that one God. Now, you know, you got to figure out which one of these faiths you want to take. You know what I'm saying? That's only you have that choice. But I'm saying is their whole thing is to keep our young people from emerging to take their rightful position. If our young people would, if it didn't matter about our young people, why so much emphasis on tearing you down? You young people, any young person listen to me on the phone, why is there so much emphasis to not let you be nobody? If you ain't nobody, why are they doing everything they can do? And I'm talking about these Negroes helping them do this too now. Why is there so much emphasis to tear you down, to make you feel bad, to talk about the way you dress and how you look and the way your hair is? Why is there so much emphasis to go find some dark-skinned person to say that the light? First of all, our people ain't never been no one color.
That is correct.
Let me dispel that misnomer. We ain't never been no blue-black, and we ain't all been all that real high-yellow. Our people come in all colors and hues. Intellectuals.
That is correct.
No, I'm talking about,
well, you're powerful.
Powerful.
I couldn't have said it much no better.
I'm saying to the public that's listening. I'm saying to the young people that's listening to me. I'm only concerned with you. I'm not concerned with you old fools. If you old fools, I want you to get what you got coming. I'm like John the Baptist. When they came to him, John the Baptist said, who warned you? What you here for?
Yeah,
I want you for the destruction that's coming. I ain't warning you. I want you to get what you got coming. John the Baptist was here for the young and the yet unborn. And that's all I'm concerned with. I'm not concerned with you old fools. You know what's happening. You in your 50s. You sitting back blaming all the youth. You know the youth ain't did that. All them faking lots in your neighborhood, all your community all tore up. They too young to tell that neighborhood. They weren't even born when this community was tore up.
That is correct.
They were born in the 80s, in the 90s. They weren't even in the 2000s. All born in 2000. They don't even know anything about that. And instead of you standing up, being a man, look, you ain't got that much life left. You finish that anyway. If you're going to die, die for something. If you're going to leave here, make it even, Steve.
That is correct.
Let the last part of your life be the greater part. Okay, you wasn't what you should have been. But let the in the dungeons of Illinois is where I found him. I want y'all to listen to my story. This is my personal story. I ran into a man, and the man told me, he said, young man, I had 50 years. I was 23 years old with 50 calendar years. I ain't supposed to be on the streets now.
Mm-hmm.
That man told me, he said, young man, and I'm going to say it the way he said it. Don't y'all get offended.
Now,
I'm going to say it in the proper way. I'm going to say it in the proper way.
Okay.
He said, you have wrecked your life. The first half of your life, you have wrecked it. Now, you ain't going to die in the penitentiary because you're going to get another chance in the land of the living. Because your good outweighed your bad. But it ain't because you did something good. It's because the great God has decided not to destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of people that's listening. They're in the same situation. I was 23 years old.
Got my knee. Me too.
He said, nah. When you're going to do a lot of this time. You ain't going to get scot-free because you're doing some of that stuff that people said you were doing. You up with it. And you got to pay. One way or the other. And so I went through I did my sentence, and I got my time reversed, so I only did 14 years and 9 months. But as long as I was in there, I kept reading. If I didn't read 5,000 or 10,000 books, I ain't read a book. When I went to jail, I had a third-grade education. I could barely read a book when I went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago public education makes sure you'd be stupid. You know what I'm talking about? So I was in a bad neighborhood, and I went to a bad school, and then I started doing bad things. That's the history of my youth. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, like I said, when I got down there, the man made one statement to me, and it stuck like glue. He said, you done messed up the first part of your life. You can't get it back. You're going to do most of it. When I got out of the penitentiary, I was 39 years old. So I can't get that back. But guess what he told me? He said, but life begins again for somebody at 40. So you can do at 40 what you should have did at 20. So I'm here to make sure that little shorty don't have to. I done done enough time for all the little shorties.
That is
I can
correct.
Bring 15, 25 people in the room, and we almost got 1,000 years in. I can bring enough people. I've been locked up with so many different people. We didn't die. Just like Jesus died for the sins of the world, you ain't got to die for the sins of the world. Okay, then, you ain't got to go to jail because all of us have been in jail for you.
That is correct.
You ain't got to go to jail. We haven't been in jail enough for black folks in America. The older guys, so none of the younger guys got to pay the penalty that we've been in jail because you really ain't locking them up for dope and that other stuff. And ain't a bunch of them going to jail for no murder. Because Chicago only had 500 murder, but yet it's 13,000 people locked up. So you ain't got 13,000 people locked up for no murder. Them is crimes of money. They locked up for stealing, burglary, selling dope, stealing cars. They're in there trying to make some money because they can't make it no other kind of way. So most of the people that's locked up is locked up about money. It ain't like they ain't locked up about and the lack of it. You know what I'm talking about? The most,
that is
the other 5%, the little 1% locked up for the murders and the rapes. You dig what I'm saying? That and rape is a mental illness anyway. And of those different people, that's a whole other crowd. So I'm saying to you that the majority of them people that's locked up are locked up for crimes of economics. We live, poverty is a crime against humanity. And they are waging a poverty crime against the young people. They're making sure our young people, more than anything else, never emerge to take their rightful seat among the great people. You think Mandela the only brother that got what he got? There's plenty of Mandelas around here. They're making sure there are no more Mandelas emerge.
That is correct.
You repeating was the only you repeating. They making sure another you repeating. Then America, and I can go on and on and on. The Cobra and Booker T. Washington, and Frederick Douglass. I can go on and on. There's plenty of brothers I can just use to show that they're making sure that none of us through our community. And this is the ruling class. This is the elitist people that's running this country. This ain't no regular white folks. Because regular white folks don't like what's going on either. Because they don't live the same way.
That is correct.
Them. They don't run nothing. They can't even get in their house. Shut up. Get off your porch. Get in your house. Shut up. They don't run nothing. No talk about. I'm saying to you that among more than anything else, the major piece is to focus on our young people, because our young people a crime has happened to them. Black leadership has led our people to people who don't have, to the merciless, who don't have no mercy.
That
is correct. If you want to know who done it to your people, go down to your local elected official's office. Go down there and start asking them questions. Watch, at some point, that elected official person is going to show you his disdain for the young people. He's going to show his hatred. You got a guy up there that's been in office for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
You got a congressman that's been in Washington, D.C. for 50 calendar years.
Mm-hmm.
That means everything that was going on in New York, he's right there watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask the question, when is we going to throw this Negro out of this spot?
I know that's
get
right.
And get a young person.
Who is that, Ryan Gold?
Vote for the Negroes again. And you people that voted for them, the blood is on your hand, too. Because they couldn't do it without you keep voting for them. Vote for somebody new. And I ain't talking about no his son, because I don't think his son is new. Well, we'll go with his son now. It's different now. His son, his daddy raised him.
Oh, no.
His daddy raised him. Come on, I ain't going with the son. The daddy raised him.
You talking about Ryan Gold?
I'm talking about Sellout. That's his name.
Okay.
That man been in office for 50, New York for 50 calendar years.
You're right.
And New York been messed up right. like that. And every time you talk to him, he's going to tell you about white folks and talk to you like he Italian.
That is correct.
That Italian accent. That old phony white folk accent that he got. He wants you to vote black, but he won't act white. I know a house Negro when I see him. He ain't just started being one. He been one. He sits on the board of all the drugs that's dealing with the United States. He sit on that board. So all them drugs coming into Harlem, how come he ain't never shut it down? He ain't trying to shut it down. Only time he trying to shut down is us.
How
many people have emerged from him? How many millionaires have he made sure in Harlem and in our neighborhood up there in New York become millionaires? How many have he made? How many have he made sure that our people from those projects up there emerge and go into the next level? He ain't done nothing but look out for his greedy self, his selfish self. And he ain't no different up there than Danny K. Davis in Chicago or Connors up in New York. In Detroit, the guy in Detroit, all them Negroes went up there and made sure that they looked out for themselves. How can Detroit have all those black legged officials and go down the toilet? And they still talking about
that.
And then watch this here, man. I want your audience to listen to this. How is it that them house Negroes lost the city that was controlled by blacks? Every elected official was black. Why no white folks running nothing in Detroit? Ain't no white folks you can blame.
That is correct.
I'm sending them back to my house. All of them been to college. All of them been to college. Don't tell me that a college, whatever education them people teaching y'all, it don't work. Them college Negroes up with it. They go right in there and agree, man. Actually, I think when they go to college, they don't even finish no class. I think when they go to college, they raise their hand and say, I will do whatever you white folks want to do, and I ain't going to do nothing for black folks. Okay, I'm in now. So I think they're doing college because all them Negroes up there went to college, and they ain't helped us. So don't teach no college degree. Collegeism ain't no being no man. They act like going to college means you're a man. They act like when they gave you a degree, that means womanhood. That ain't no measure of a man or measure of a woman. Because after I look, y'all ain't doing nothing with what you got. If they ain't doing nothing with what they got, so why should we go get, teach our kids to go get more of it? We need to be teaching our young people vocation. Well, yeah, they need to go get some education, but not what they're teaching at them universities, Howard, Morehouse, all that stuff. They don't need to go to them colleges no more. Shut them down. If the people that y'all are producing ain't done nothing for us, then anybody else can close it down. If it's not working, they close it down. If it's a car company, they're supposed to fix your car, and they can't fix the car, and they're messing the car up, don't nobody shop there no more, and they shut it down. Ain't no man is a terrible thing to waste. Send them to your college, and the academic skills that you're teaching them is making us not work. Stop blaming white folks, and these Negroes are playing a part of it. These Negroes are doing it. You black folks, you young black folks, you white folks, your black folks putting you over, stopping you out, putting your pants down, giving you cases, coming to court. Ain't no black lawyers down there filing suits for us. All these black lawyers we didn't sit to college. Where they at? All these black doctors that we didn't sit to college ain't saying nothing about AIDS, that phony disease. So don't tell me nothing about them educated Negro. Being educated to me means that what you call man, you shut the hell up. And everybody else got to just sit back and watch you eat. Them days is over with. The grassroots movement, we ain't on none of that no more. We ain't feeling that. We ain't trying to hear what you're talking about. And we get down. And don't be slapping on us, grabbing on us, putting on us. Because we ain't them kind. We believe more like Malcolm than we believe Martin. Now, we honor Martin, but we more like Malcolm.
No, I know
Malcolm
that.
Went to the joint. Malcolm went to the joint.
That
so
is correct.
So we more like the people that suffered than the ones that went to jail. The difference between going to the penitentiary and going to the county jail, going to
that
the police
correct.
Station, they're not the same. Taking a picture and going to the police, they're not the same. You don't know my pain. You don't know our pain, how young people live out here, going in and out of jail. They're using, when a young girl get a baby, we live in a sanctuary city. City of Chicago is a sanctuary city where people can come from across the border, make it to Chicago, and get a job. But the kids in Chicago who live in Chicago can't get no job. Mm. Then when one-eyed young ladies get pregnant and one of those people that came across the border get pregnant, they tell our young lady, well, you got to tell us who that young man is. You can't get no welfare. So we got to hunt him down like a dog and make sure he go to jail. Now, she just had it. She, first of all, she's bogus. She ain't got no business in this country. But
who
told you she get health care? Now she has to get health care, and then she have another baby. Well, where are all these babies coming from? Well, how are you taking care of babies? Welfare taking care of them. The babies got to go to the hospital. The babies got to go. People got to, all of a sudden, and why are all the labor got to be left? They got all the other kind of people that come to this country. They got people come from Eastern Europe. They got people come from Africa. Why are we that? Because you're making it so that you ought to benefit them, and you're taking our jobs and you're giving it to them. Like I said before, ain't no brown and black relationship as long as my people suffer, so I'll be cool with you. We ain't cool then.
That is cool.
If my people got to suffer, my kids ain't eating because I got to let you eat and you breaking the law, we ain't cool no more. You go over there, I'm over here. I ain't got to be your friend.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
I'm my family. See, they don't want no Negroes talking like this. They don't want no Negroes saying family first. There was one of the Negroes saying, man, you make sure that you bring the bacon back. In the city of Chicago, there are 50 wards. There are 50 wards. After I do this, I'm gone from it.
Okay, I hear you.
Out of 50 wards, 20 of these wards are run by black folks. Now, imagine, I'm trying to get the audience a mindset to figure out what I'm talking about. There's $6.5 billion in the city of Chicago. That's the city budget. The aldermen. Each alderman is a mayor of his ward, but they call them aldermen. They call them an alderman. Out of those 50 wards, 20 of them is black. Now they got like 11 of them Latinos and some white too. Okay. Now when they all come together, they got a pie. That pie is that budget, and that budget is $9 billion, but it used to be $6.4 billion. I think it's $9 billion now. Well, let's just keep the number $9 billion. That's $9 billion. That's the pie. That's the pie on the table. Now, the pie on the table is $9 billion. That money is dispersed between all 50 wards. That money is used in all 50 wards.
Okay.
That means all your, ladies and gentlemen, y'all listen to me. I want ladies and gentlemen to listen. All they should be doing, that means they give them enough money to fix all these sidewalks in that neighborhood. So your neighborhood sidewalks ain't fixed. They got money to fix it. They just ain't fixed it. I'm going to tell you why they didn't fix it. Now, once they cut that power, your alderman, your elected official, when they give him a slice of the pie, he take his pie, when they cut that pie down in the city hall, he pick up your slice of that pie, and he give it back to the mayor and say, here you go, mayor, you do what you think you should do with that slice of the pie. And the mayor take the crumbs off the pie and rub it all into that alderman's hand, and that alderman eats it, and his little friends eat it, which 8 or 9 of them, that's all it is. And then he said, thank you. And then when your alderman come back to the neighborhood, your community say, hey, man, where our slice of the pie? Where are we going to get our cut? Your alderman say this here, don't worry about it, brother. We all going to get a slice of the pie. You didn't get a slice of the pie. You just got the crumbs, and you ain't got enough crumbs to feed us. That's what's happening with your black leaders. You can no longer keep blaming them kids out in the streets.
We have someone that pushed one, and we're going to open up the line for this person to speak. And area code 281, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just want to say that what the young man is saying is 100% right. And in case everybody is not listening to him accurate enough, but the thing about it is, if we don't organize like what you all are saying, if we don't get the businesses that the black people have now, because the plan is in 2014, they are going to shut down as many of the minority black-owned businesses. They're going to shut them down this year. And just like what he was saying, they are exchanging the labor for the black people to the labor for the Hispanic. And they give them to illegal Hispanic. Now I understand what he's saying about the prisoners, you know, when they get out of prison. But here's the thing. If we don't organize, if we don't figure out how we can save the black-owned businesses, most of them are small businesses.
That's right.
If we don't figure out how we can pull together and save these black businesses, we won't be able to do what we're trying to do, because the answer is already here. These businesses is already up and running, but they got one foot on a banana peel, and they got the other foot in the face of the IRS to be shut down.
Mm.
And unless if we can do what we can to save these black businesses that's already up and going, that is how we can employ our people.
That is correct. Let me try to weigh in on that. You understand? See, they got an organization.
Finish. Go ahead, sir. What else was you saying?
Okay, and so what is going on now, and what is being said on there that I've been paying attention to, and what you all are trying to get ready to do to go off into Chicago, the thing about it is the businesses that's about to be shut down. If we don't do something about that, that's our answer. Our answer is the businesses that's already, I mean, most of these people have been in business for 20 and 30 years, okay? The same thing that happened to Detroit is going to happen to every other state simultaneously, because they've already figured out how to contain us and how to put us back in slavery. Because here's the deal. If you pull The only thing that you have going for you is a job. If they take a job from you and do not allow you to get another job on that level, then you can't sustain, you can't maintain. And the drugs and what have you is just something to make you think that that's what you can go to keep from losing everything. For example, if you got a home and it's almost paid for and you only owe 3 years, same as a home down to a new car. And if you lose your job, you may have money in the bank, but because of your style of living, that the money in the bank is not gonna pay off your home and keep you sustainable enough. So you have to think fast. And most of us, we don't want to lose that. So we'll start doing a lot of things. And by the same token, a lot of us have these businesses. These white folks can shut down our outside influences, our accounts that we had with white folks and Hispanics, they have shut down. And the black people, they do not want to do business with black people. And that's why these small black businesses are going down a tube. And if we don't do nothing about it, now see, if we can pull ourselves together, like what y'all saying, if we can do business amongst ourselves, we can strengthen these companies, we can employ our own people, we can do what we need to do. But if all these businesses is lost, then we have nothing. And what I'm saying is, we don't need no money from the government. What you need money from the government for? I'm telling you that these businesses is already going. These people got businesses and they good. Okay, I'm not talking about businesses that's messing over people, businesses that, you know, folk doing shabby stuff. I'm talking about businesses that these people stand behind. It's just that nobody would do business with them. And if don't nobody do business with you, you are going out of business.
Okay, now let me stop you right there. Okay, I know everybody has a comment that they want to make, and I want everybody to get a chance to talk. We may go into overtime to 6:30 if you guys want, depending on who else wants to talk. But I want to say I absolutely agree with you. That has been the strategy of the Nation of Yehuda from the very beginning. We have too many workable dollars among ourselves as a people. Anytime in Cincinnati, Ohio, that they can come in for the Jazz Festival weekend and spend $17 million in 3 days. I mean, $17 million in 3 days. We have income among ourselves. We don't have to ask anybody to help us do anything. We can just do it among ourselves. That's what Black Wall Street was all about. I mean, it's just time for us to come together. I want to say to you all that are in the listening audience, I am going to contact this gentleman from Chicago. When I hang up, we're going to set up a date for us to go to Chicago for a think tank. If you all are interested in this, please email me. I will send you out all the information. We are headed to Chicago because we need to sit down with someone that's already doing it, is already working. We also are putting together the Chamber of Commerce. We need your information, just like you, sir. We don't know what your business is, and if we don't know what it is, we can't use it. You may have a printing company that we can use, which you don't have to be local for that. We can contract to use you whatever state you're in. But if we don't know you're out there, we cannot pay you. That is what the Chamber of Commerce is all about, is to bring all of the businesses into a central location where we can start doing business among ourselves and feed ourselves. And without that, we will not be able to make it. So I just want to let everyone know, please email me. My email address is Yaena, and it's spelled Y-A-H-E-E-N-A. YISRAEL@gmail.com, and we're going to send the information out for the think tank, And we hope that you can make it, because we have people from all sorts of area codes on here. 218-903-917-314-404-513. It's all kind of area codes on here where people are listening from all over the country. So I'm not going to say a whole lot more. I'm just going to let the brother speak, and then, Joni, you can take it from there.
Yeah, let me try to weigh in just a second. What I wanted to say is that there's a group called the United Nations of Israel. They're trying to become an independent nation. See, once we become independent, you understand, we can build a conglomeration of businesses under that name. You understand?
But see, we're not going to do that today. What we're trying to do is come together and do this as a group of people from all over. So that's why we're not giving out names over the radio. So we're just trying to do this as a group of people, because we have Christians on the line now, Muslims on the line now, everything.
Right.
We're not promoting anything else other than us coming together and doing this think tank. We're not going to do it under the umbrella or anything. We're going to do it as people that are coming together to try to survive. So, brother from Chicago, do you want to horn in on this now?
Yeah. I want to say this here, because I don't want nobody to get the wrong impression. The best model that they had was the Marcus Garvey model, the Negro Improvement Association. There was no other model ever put together underneath it. The Marcus Garvey model had everybody with him. Those people wasn't just they were all kind of faiths. They had all kind of faiths. Their faith was Muslims. They had Muslims and Christians and Moors too. Moors was back then too. Prophet Nobuhr Ali was what was back then when Marcus Garvey was alive then too. And the best way to deal with it is to deal with it as a secular group. And what I mean by secular, that allows everybody to come in, and that allows you can have your religious attire, your holy name, all that, but it allows us to operate as an entity, as one unit. Because we have all kind of ideas of who we are and from where we come from, but the Marcus Garvey model was the only model that had been tried and proven that it worked. Actually, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used a lot of Marcus Garvey's model. Prophet Nobuhr Ali, he used it, a lot of the stuff too. They owned the land, property. I'm not finna go, that stuff about Mordecai York, but he did use some of his stuff too. Some people use it and it was bogus. Some people use it for good. You know what I'm saying? So it's not knowledge is what you do with it. But if your heart ain't right, it doesn't matter. I think the brother that just got on there is correct about that. We have to make sure that our business. What kept us so far was because our community. Was segregation forced us, not necessarily forced us, but it made us start looking among ourselves and catering and doing business among ourselves. The civil rights movement and those who were a part of the civil rights movement came in as a Trojan horse. The civil rights movement definitely was a Trojan horse, and I can prove it by what's going on with us now, because Chicago never was desegregated. Contrary to popular belief and everybody listening on this phone, Chicago is a segregated city. Black folks live with black folks. Mexicans live with Mexicans. Polish people live with Polish people. Jews live with Jews. Or Irish live with Irish. Chicago. That's right, Chicago City. Wander off in those wrong neighborhoods, and they'll get up with your tail. This Chicago, Illinois, I'm talking about. I don't know about what y'all are talking about. And Harlem and those different other cities. And so we never was decent. It was never a decent. It was an opportunity to rid us of the best and the brightest of us. The young people who was real smart and went to college, it was a way to grab them and take them, our young, bright people who went to college and who became teachers. They didn't come back to our neighborhood and teach us. They were sent to their neighborhoods to teach them, and they made their kids even brighter and smarter. All the dumb Negro teachers came to our community and hated us and didn't like us and didn't teach us nothing. Not all of them, because there were some teachers that taught me and tried to help me out. I didn't want to get taught at a certain age. So I'm saying to you, the Negro Improvement Society is a model that we can use as a organization that can put a structure together where everybody can come in and put different things together to resolve our issue, to make sure that, and I like to say this also, I want everybody to hear this. There was a debate when the black people was leaving the Negro lead to play in the white leads. The black owners of those Negro leads were saying, don't leave our leads and go play with them. Make them open up the lead and let us play. Now imagine if they were to open up the leads and allow the Negro leagues to play the white leagues. Imagine they'd have been big like these baseball leagues you see now. But a selfish Negro that they didn't get a movie about, that they act like he breaking some, you know, opening some door up and all that. He wasn't the only one that could play good ball. They had brothers that played ball, but they didn't want to do it. But they got a brother that'll do it, and they opened up the doorway. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying to y'all that the best way is to take us as a group. See, that brother that owned the baseball team, so don't just take one of our guys that can play ball. Take the whole team as a group. Take all of us and let us play your team, and you play our team, and we're going to have some white folks, and then y'all can have some black folks, but let us in the league.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's how we have to think. See, when you're dealing with other different groups, they look out for their people. That's why I'm not upset with the Latino community. They look out for their people. One of them get a job at McDonald's, and then he become the manager at McDonald's. He get rid of all the black folks and put all his people in there. I ain't mad at him for doing that. I'm mad at the black person that hired him and made sure that he put all his people there. That's what I'm upset with. Make sure, and then you got a lot of black folks saying that we won't work. That's not true. There's a lot of us that haven't had a chance to work, so we don't even know how to work. You might be right about that. So that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that brother, that was a good statement that their brother made, and he's right. The civil rights movement was a Trojan horse. It never materialized. It never became what it was ought to be. And I'm not talking about Jim Crow. I'm talking about that when we spent money and used which there are a lot of people like to attack Marcus Garvey and say that he took a boat, and he was talking about commerce. And I like to say this to Marcus Garvey's defense. Name me a Negro today who owned a ship line in 2013 with all that sense you got. With all that money our black folks got as football players, baseball players, or super rappers and all that, name one of them got a ocean liner today.
Mm-hmm.
So he must knew something, and he did have, I'm saying to y'all that they always point to the Uncle Tom, like the D-Bowls and all them, and make us want to follow behind them because they ain't on nobody. Half them guys are homosexuals too. And then they don't want us to look at men like these brothers I'm talking about. Now, everybody got sin in their life, and you're going to find something wrong with everybody. But that's not the point I'm making. I'm saying that we can use the Marcus Garvey model to put brothers together to make sure that these companies are upright and running, and make sure the indigenous community, because they're cutting unemployment to 1 million people. That'll be this week. Then in the middle of this year, that's just a trial run. Then in the middle of the year, they're gonna knock off some more people. That's going to be 2 million. Then at the end of the year of 2014, it's going to be 3 million people that's getting unemployment that they're not going to get. First of all, most of them ain't black folks, because most of us ain't got no jobs to be getting unemployment in the first place. So, let's get that straight. But that's going to put a strain on society at large. Them people going to go get welfare. They're going to try to go get, because they ain't been getting it. So they're going to allow them to get it. And the ones that's been getting welfare, they're going to tell them they can't get it no more, which is us.
Absolutely. And can I interrupt you for one moment, because we're almost coming down to the time at 5:30, and at 5:30 we're going to go into overtime. We have about 2 minutes. One wants to call in right now is the time to do it, because at 5:30 you will not be able to call in. And I agree with you 100%. That's why it is important for us to be able to allow everyone that is of African-American descent to be able to come to this think tank, come up to Chicago, sit down, talk. We can put this thing together all over the country, because we've got to be able to feed ourselves. And I understand that there are There are agricultural departments that are going on with some of our nations and our different organizations that we have going on. Beautiful. But at the same time, like I said, we still have to be able to feed ourselves. And everybody's not going to grow food. Some people have to use skills to get paid. And we already have workable dollars. Why not give it to each other?
That is correct.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of us have education. Like you said, we spent thousands of dollars. I owe the education department $78,000 for the education that I had to pay for. And I am sitting over here right now without a job because I work for myself. So there's a lot of skills that I have that I can bring to the table, and we can eliminate having to go to the other nation to do what we need to do, and we can keep the money within ourselves. The capital is there. There's a gentleman on the line right now, and he is a part of the sportscasters. He's hooked up with all of the professional ball players. He's hooked up with all of the professional radio casters, and they're listening. They're not saying anything, but they're listening because we need dollars to be generated within our nation, our community of people, so we can get this thing done because we can save ourselves.
That's right. That's definitely right.
So those are the things that we're trying to do, sir. I am so glad that you took the time and you called us and called in. And anybody else that has a comment, question, concern, or whatever, this is the time. And if not, we're just going to go ahead and end the show. It's 5:30. We want to thank you for coming on the show. Brother Adonia and I will call you back after the show is over so that we can sit down and strategize when is a good time to have this think tank. And then we will announce it on the show next week. You're welcome to come back on the show next week. Bring a guest if you like. And bring some other people on the line because we need to start talking because this is the only way that we're going to organize if we start talking and from different states all over the country. So, again, like I said, we will be contacting you after the show to get this thing straightened out and set up a time for everybody, and then we will announce it to everybody next week when it is. We're going to set it out 60 days out. Maybe the end of March or whatever, so it's convenient for everybody, 1st of April, however we do it to give everybody enough time. So is there any last comments you want to make, sir, before we say goodbye? And you know, we don't want you to give out any contact information or anything like that.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate you. I like to say to brothers and sisters up there in New York, y'all got to vote out them people that's in office. I don't care what you think. You better look around. If you love your children, if you love your people, vote them people out. Vote them out. Period. Don't go along with, I'm talking about all the ones that's in office now, especially the 50-year Negro. And y'all need to run. Somebody from the projects, I've been to the penitentiary. I ran for Congress after Jesse Jr. fell in disgrace. Also, he drug his wife to the penitentiary with him, showing what type of character he is. I went to the penitentiary. I ran for office. And you can bet everybody had a problem with that. Get over it. I got over it when I done my time. I'm saying to you that it don't make no difference, no sense, that you young people just listening to me up there in New York. If I ran for office, and I've been to the penitentiary, and you ain't been to the penitentiary, and why you ain't going to run? And don't give me that, you need to know this, you need to know that. Do you think some people that's in office know something? You better go down there and sit in city council and listen. They don't know nothing.
You
and
have
don't
to
believe the hype. Don't believe the hype with the intellectual monkeys, because he is a wordsmith, and he can use words that you ain't never heard. He's an intellectual monkey. That's what they call them in the penitentiary, intellectual monkey. You're smart enough to be stupid and not accomplish anything. It's people, young people right there in New York, you the grassroots people, you've been out there fighting against the system. You know the system. You need to run for office. You need to seize the time because the people is tired and sick and tired of house niggerization. We've been living underneath this system of house nickelization headed up by elitist white folks. It's up to y'all to break the glass ceiling and make them house Negroes fall on their face. Top of them house Negroes. Fall off the mountain. Don't lose no sleep if they get fired. They didn't lose no sleep over all these children that's not eating. They didn't lose no sleep over all our people suffering. You're only doing God's will. Justice means that people get just what they got coming. Then they need some justice.
I hear you. Hallelujah.
I'll see y'all later. Y'all take it easy. God bless.
Yes.
Shalom, we thank you so much, sir. Brother Donia, you got some last comments?
I just want to say that I appreciate the brother that you had come online today. He was spoke powerfully about what we need to do and about what we went through. And now is our opportunity to seize the moment, you understand? The Creator is with us, you understand? And
yes.
I'm so happy to know that somebody else is thinking the same way. You understand?
Yes.
I know that we've been on here talking about this for a long time, you understand? But it's the Almighty, you understand, who will bring these things together for us, you understand? And I also want to say that I love each and every one of you. I love the Almighty, and there's nothing that you can do about it.
And you know what? I'm so glad because I was so excited. I said, Brother Donia is going to be so excited today because finally we got somebody that's listening. Finally, we have somebody that has something to say, and finally, the secular people, the people who are unconscious, have come to the table and said, let's roll up our sleeves and let's get this done. So, you know, this is what we need. We need to come together as a nation, whether we conscious or unconscious. I'm excited about Chicago. We headed to Chicago. We're going to make sure that this is going to be what it's supposed to be. I'm definitely going to organize with him, and you know when I get involved and we start organizing, it's going to be what it needs to be. And we're going to get everybody so that we can get up there and spend some time up there and really begin to talk and meet some people. And I got a few other things that I want to talk to you about offline, but I definitely will get you. I got a brother that's going to push one, the same brother. Let me get him on real quick. Brother, go ahead. You can go ahead. Area code 281, you're on the line.
Yes, I just wanted to close it out with I was talking earlier. For sure and without a doubt, we do not, cannot, and shall not, and will not use the government money. I know the government has money, but
yes, sir,
it has too many stipulations and it has too many booby traps with it.
Yes,
that's
sir.
All I have to say.
All right, and I want to ask you a question, Brother Donia. What time is it?
It's nation-building time. Hallelujah.
Yes,
tell that brother to keep coming back, man. Keep coming to the radio station, you understand? And, so, you know, that just the one that just spoke just now, you understand? We need his input. Hallelujah.
Absolutely, and I want to tell everybody that's on the line right now, if you are on the line and you want to be a part, your organization wants to be a part of the Chicago event, please, I'm going to announce next week when we're going to be headed to Chicago, what the plans are going to be, and we'll have everything set up for you so you'll know when, what, where, and why. And if you can't make it, you know, we'll try to figure out a way, some kind of way to get the information to you. But it's time for us to start building ourselves as a nation. It's time for us to start coming back together as a people because they are not going to feed us. We're going to have to feed ourselves. And on that note, we say shalom, shalom. We love you. We'll see you next week. See you later.
Shalom, shalom. Hallelujah.
People looking at me like I just robbed the neighborhood Circle K. Just minding my business, trying to make a living, digging in day by day. Some of the things that I'm seeing, you just wouldn't believe. But I always hold my head up in dignity. Can't judge a book by the cover, cause they don't really even know me. Don't know me. They don't know about the things I be going.
by my hand. Let me hear what I'm saying. Let me hear what I'm
Right, all right, that's the end of it for this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. It was all the way live. You know what time it is. It's nation building time. If you're interested, don't forget, email me at yainaisrael@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.